Rear Admiral joins us now.
Oh, he's there?
Co-host of the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. Hey.
Put that gun down.
Yeah, that's right. Do you not think of that?
Actually, you know, to be honest with you, I actually think of a young, up-promising defenseman. I think of Jonathan Gerard, who was a Bruins draft pick years ago when he got in a car accident. And his career never was able to flourish like everybody hoped. So I don't think of the fugitive right away, and I'm kind of pissed at myself now.
Yeah,
you say it.
You should.
See, this is why
I
we
didn't
had
kill
you on.
My wife. I don't care.
I don't care.
This is all going over my head. I'm sorry.
You don't know the fugitive?
No,
you can't
I know
quote
it. No, I can't quote it.
Oh, my goodness.
God, you millennials, man. We rip them apart on Spittin' Chicklets all the time. And yeah. I didn't think I was going to have to do it in Canada. But, whatever.
I'm sorry. I was more impressed because I was like, wow, what a hockey guy move to just say Jonathan Gerard. That's the first thing that you think of in that instance. So I was like, oh, okay, good for you. That's a deep cut in its own right. So
good call.
So we love the podcast. So we're very happy to be speaking with you again. So
thank you so much for having me on. I'm most appreciative to be on in Toronto.
Yeah, man. And we got a back to back with the Bruins here. And I was listening to the last podcast, and you guys were talking about Seabrook and how he's not appreciated the way that he maybe should be in Chicago right now, and that maybe the fans have turned on him a little too quickly because he's not the guy that he once was. But because he does have the Stanley Cups on the resume. And because of everything that he's done for the city, the guys should treat him a little bit differently. And you touched on it quickly, but I wanted to kind of flesh it out with you a little bit in terms of how Boston is feeling about Zdeno Chara right now and his regression as a player.
I think people are fine with him. Excuse me. He's well-respected here. He was a key part of bringing a Stanley Cup back to Boston. And, you know, he's still a pretty solid defenseman out there. I mean, he's not a number one guy. I would call him probably a top four pair, maybe even a top three. He's only making $4 million this year. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bruins re-upped him for maybe on a year-to-year basis or maybe even a two-year deal after this year. I don't think people are really frustrated. I mean, of course, if you go on Twitter and you search his name, you'll find, you know, 100 idiot opinions, but that's just the internet. But, he's had to adjust his game a little. Cassie basically pulled him off the power play, which I really don't have an issue with. I think they're, you know, more offensively capable guys he could probably use on the power play. But, you know, he's probably focusing a little more on his D and not probably skating as many minutes. Well, he did play 26 last week, one game, but I have no problem whatsoever. I don't see that much. I really don't hear much. I think you kind of have to go looking for that criticism around here.
Well, and the incumbent's playing pretty well. Charlie McAvoy is not 1,000 feet tall, but man, he looks pretty damn good.
He really does. And we had him actually on the podcast this summer. And, you know, all the guys we had in the summer, all the young kids who either live around here or live around, work up, either grew up here or live here during the summer. And they're all really nice kids. But Charlie, he really stood out to me. It's not anything remotely cockiness. It's just a maturity and a confidence he carries with himself. And, you know, like for him to step in like he did last year at 19 years old and essentially be the number one defenseman for the Bruins in the playoffs. And he looked like a 10-year veteran out there. He made, you know, a couple mistakes, but I mean, he almost played flawless hockey his first six games. And, I don't know how he fell that far. I mean, he was pretty well regarded at BU, but, you know, teams pass on guys for strange reasons. And we were blessed to have him fall in our lap.
Yeah, and you always know you got something when other teams' fan bases are very jealous of a piece. And that's how I feel about him. It's like, oh, I really wish we had that guy. Last thing on Chara, though, is do you think that he finishes this season with the Bruins?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, unless the Bruins were to fall like way out of position, playoff position. But even if that happens, he's a loyal guy. I don't think he would even want to go, especially if him and the team have, you know, more years after this year. I'd be surprised if that happened, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You mentioned the contract. He's not making that much money. So if you are a team, you look at him and say, we could actually make a move here for Chara. We could get a big veteran blue liner, someone that's playoff tested, that when the game slows down a little bit and it gets a little bit more rough, he's a nice guy to have. And so, yeah, you're right. If the Bruins are in the mix, of course not. But honestly, man, do you not feel like it's trending a little bit more towards this team missing the playoffs this year than making it? It seems like the Bruins' issues are starting to really mount up early in the season.
Well, I disagree because I think their only issue right now is injuries. You know, like last game, a couple of games, they were missing Marchand, Backes, and Krejci. Now, I know Backes sometimes skates in the third line, but I consider him a top six guy, basically. And that's 50% of your top six you're missing right there. McQuaid's out. Noel Acciari, a great fourth line player. They got his out. Ryan Spoon is out. I mean, you're skating seven rookies in the lineup, and they're still competitive. I mean, the Rangers game, they had a tough start the other night, but they close to tying it up. They gave them a hell of a game with all those kids in the lineup. If anything, I'm probably encouraged the fact that they're playing with such a youthful lineup, and they're still competitive, and these guys are getting experience. So when they get Backus back, and I think Marchand might be back tonight, and Krejci comes back. You know, I think they're going to be fine. I mean, I think they got to weather the storm. Tuukka Rask, by the way, thanks to Toronto for Tuukka Rask.
Good one.
Sorry, couldn't resist. But he's got to play a little better. If he plays as well as he can, and we've seen in the past, then they can beat anybody on any given night, as long as the team plays, the team game and doesn't get away from that. He's that good of a goalie. We've seen it. He's going to have to continue to do that as long as they're, playing with this many young kids. But I think this is just a little weathering the injury storm. I guess I'd rather have it earlier in the year than later in the year. You can't pick those things, but I'd prefer it now rather than, April or March.
Talking to Rear Admiral, who's not from around here, from Boston area, co-host of the Spit and Chicklets podcast. Come on, how much of that accent are you putting on? Is that really how you speak day to day?
Absolutely. I'm not an internet persona. I mean, people think I am because they hear me on the podcast or a video or whatever. I'm 100% what you see is what you get. This is I'm loud, profane, and I don't use my eyes in person and on the internet.
Interested to get your perspective on this Leafs team, who were obviously the talk of the NHL the first couple of weeks of the season, putting up seemingly seven goals a game. But as I anticipated early in the season, they became easily one of the more hated teams in the NHL. I get a sense that people are enjoying the struggles that they've suffered through the last couple of weeks.
You know, it's funny. I actually wish Toronto was back in the West so I could enjoy it a little more, because I'm a huge Auston Matthews fan. Obviously as Canadians like their Canadian players, Americans, we enjoy watching our American kids play. I think he's such a fantastic story. He's obviously an unreal talent. So I'm sometimes torn, because they're in the division. They're a rival of ours, although, they haven't been in the East all that long since they came back. And, I don't root for Toronto, but I don't hate them like I did a few years ago. It's kind of a weird dynamic. I'm sure if we have another dust up in the playoffs that goes six or seven games, then the hate will be restored quickly. But I'll tell you, when I put the NHL TV on, and Toronto's one of the first games I look for. Like you just said, you guys are scoring six, seven goals a night. I mean, you look at Frederik Andersen, you might look at his numbers, and they might look like the Leafs from 30 years ago. But he's winning. I mean, he's making saves when he needs to some nights, and they're chugging along. But I want this rivalry to get. It won't be on the level of Montreal ever, but, to have it on some level would be great. I mean, we had a great series a few years ago in 13, but, I mean, I'd love to play Toronto every year in the playoffs. It would be fantastic to get that hate going.
That wasn't a great series from this perspective.
No, I was actually in the building that night, and when it went 4-1, my brother tapped me on the shoulder and kind of like looked toward the exit. I said, man, it's the handshake game. I can't leave. I got to watch the handshake.
Yeah, it's game seven. Come on.
I thought that Boston guys were all about leaving the game early. I thought that was the kind of the Mark Wahlberg thing. It's just like, oh, yeah, your team goes down and you just abandon ship and you just leave. I'm pretty sure that's the thing that you guys do.
Listen to what I said. He kind of looked, nodded as if to like, we didn't go, and please do not ever lump me in with Marky Mark. He's a clown. Not a Marky. Don't associate all us Boston guys with Marky Mark.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying when it comes to the Leafs, because, and this has been my case in terms of not hating them all year, is that ultimately if you're a real hockey fan, you really like to watch the most exciting teams. You like to see the teams that score, the teams with a lot of young talent that you're not just used to or you haven't been beaten down over the head with for the last couple of seasons. And like, I'm from out west in Canada, and I grew up kind of hating all the other Canadian teams. And now still it's like, if I get a choice to watch one team every night that's not Toronto, I want to see the Oilers play. And I don't normally root for the Oilers to have success, but how do you not enjoy watching Connor McDavid play? So I just don't really have the same hate as I used to when I was a kid, because the team is exciting and it's really tough to avoid those teams. So now I'm with you on that one. I'm guessing that you don't have such polarizing thoughts, though, on Bolesky.
I try not to make personal attacks on guys and call them humps and all that stuff, and I'm not about to now. It's been a disappointment, man. I was really psyched when they signed him after the playoffs. He came off and he just looked like he was going to be a perfect Bruin and come in and maybe get you 15, 20 goals a year and play that hard-nosed style. And, you know, in his defense, his first season, he was hurt early, and he never really got on track. And Claude didn't seem to really want to go to him too much, Claude Julien. And then, you know, but last year, okay, let's see what he's got now. And same thing, he just never really seemed to bring it. I think probably, to me, I'm guessing it, I think he just had a confidence issue. I think, you know, he's a guy who was probably feeling good when he signed the contract. And then, you know, the coach, you're starting the year hurt, and then the coach isn't really exactly getting into the lineup. You're never finding your rhythm. And he just doesn't seem like a guy who's really confident out there. That said, I mean, you know, how many times have we seen guys have terrible regular seasons or a rough ride, and then, you know, the playoffs roll around and they go on a 8, 9, 10 goal heater. I mean, you know, obviously they got to get to the playoffs and for that to happen. So I would like to see him get some redemption, because he's a good guy. He didn't do nothing wrong. He got a nice contract offer. He took it. He's come here. Things aren't working out. You know, I don't know what his issues are, why he hasn't, you know, really been a great Bruin, but, you know, I'm still rooting for the guy. You know, he hasn't done anything wrong. There's no bad stories about him bouncing around Boston. It's just, I think he's had a little bit of bad luck. And like I said, I'm speculating, but I think he might have had some confidence issues too, you know?
Yeah, it's just tough when you come in as a free agent, especially when it's a new management group and they say, all right, this is the guy that we're going after, which they did. And there was a bunch of questions as to that money when they first handed it to him, right? Because I remember some Leaf fans thinking that they might be in the mix for that player as well. And then all of a sudden the term and the dollar figure started powering out in terms of what it was actually going to be. And you're like, oh, nobody wants to pay that. Like, this guy eats up 5% of your cap. You can't do that for a guy that's a one-hit wonder essentially in the playoffs or had one really good season. And yeah, now through 9 games, he still has no points, right? And I think he's been scratched a few times and he's not in the lineup right now if it's not for some injuries. So yeah, you're right. You never want to root against those guys, and you never want to hate on those guys for taking money, but it does make such a big target on people's backs when they do come in as free agent signings, especially from other cities, and they're not like a guy that you had positive memories with coming up, right?
Oh, absolutely. I understand the fan ire, and you know, I probably should throw in, I'm a little bit older than, you know, I'm sure if I was still 20, 25 and doing my 10-game package deal with my buddies and drunk every time we went to games, I'm sure I'd be yelling stuff at them too. But I don't know. I think when you get a little older, you get a little more perspective, and you know, you're less likely to kind of act that way toward a guy, an athlete or whatever. But I do understand, you know, fans not being happy with him, because I mean, like you said, he hasn't performed. He's on a team right now that's, like I said, skating 6 or 7 rookies, and a lot of these guys should probably be in Providence right now, but they're not because of injuries. And you know, they get nice time over him. So it's like, man, what happened to this guy? What's the story here, you know?
Other end of the spectrum. Now, it's not a guy that was coming in here as a free agent, but David Pastrnak signs the big deal. So far, so good. 16 points in 14 games. It doesn't look like he's saddled by the burden of that deal at all.
No, not at all. And we were just glad here, given the history of Bruins and trades with young talent. And of course, you know, not all of the time was it the Bruins' fault, but you know, that's the perception of it. So the fact that they were able to lock him down for the, you know, for the good sized contract, like they need a guy like him. I mean, that's always been the Bruins' problem, is not having a sniper, a goal scorer. We got, you know, two really quality ones with him and Marchand. Having said that, you know, he still makes some mistakes, some bad mistakes. It's his fourth year in the league, and it's kind of like, okay, man. Like the other night in the Madison Square Garden, Bruins are down a goal. They got all the momentum. They got on the power play, 6 minutes left in the game, and he takes – I mean, the call is kind of a ticky-tack call, but you can't put the referee in position to the way he can make a call. Like, don't do something stupid with your stick where the ref has the option to make a call, and he did. It was a stupid – I think they called a slash on him, and they lose the power play. Now they're going to be shorthanded, and you're probably not going to win the game. So he's still not a perfect player. He still makes a lot of mental mistakes because, he's, you know, he's offensive-minded. And, he still struggles with the D, but I think in, you know – 2-3 in 2 years, I mean, he might be a 40 to 45 goal scorer if things go well.
Oh man, I was just, again, I'm a hater. Like, I'll just admit it. Like, I don't want the Bruins to do well. I'm not like you looking at the Maple Leafs saying, oh, you know what, I like that team. I like Austin Matthews. I like some guys in the Bruins, but I still was, when that Pastis talk was looming and there was the whole, you can't give him more than Marchand and maybe they're going to end up moving off of another young player. I was just sitting there like, please, please let this be true. Please trade Pastrnak because you don't want to give him a contract and you take back a bunch of bad pieces like you've done in the past. Please, Please let this be true. So, yeah, no, they got a good one there. Like, he's going to be fine. He's a great player. That was a nice contract for them. Don't you think that the figures were, like, that was good? Like, that's a good signing for them. I think you're happy if you end up with that for a player of his caliber.
Especially if he's going to have more than a point a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping, you know, I was thinking around 7 mil. He got a little more than I thought. But, you know, those are guys you have to pay. And if they did trade him, I mean, honestly, the Finns, there would have been some sort of fan revolt if they did trade Pastrnak. Because, you know, people here, Boston people are already pissed off and angry anyway. So, you know, you keep trading players away. But he never wanted to leave. He always wanted to stay. It did seem like something that was always going to get reconciled. You know, and whereas Kessel didn't want to be here. Dougie Hamilton didn't want to be here. You know, so the Bruins kind of had their hands tied in those two situations. The Tyler Seguin thing was disgusting.
That's not great.
That was just a situation where they didn't even use the ace up the sleeve on him. I don't know if like they heard something so bad that they just didn't want him on the team anymore. But the fact that they didn't shop around, just traded him almost, it felt like in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
For what they got, it was just awful. It was like, you know, they didn't embarrass them. They should have done, and I say this all the time, would Toronto do it? Nazem Kadri a couple of years ago, and, you know, he had his late night out or whatever you want to call it.
Suspended.
And the team embarrassed them. They scratched them or suspended them, whatever they did. For three games? I mean, that's the worst thing you could do to a guy. And the Bruins never did anything like that to Sagan. They just said, see you later. And it was like, you idiots, man. And, you know, they have absolutely nothing to show for
that officially
right
now everything's gone, right?
The best is they had the behind the scenes for that trade, right? Did you ever see that where they go in the room and you can see Shirelli and he's like, let's trade him in? And our buddy Andrew, he has a hilarious take of it, is whenever you watch it, it's like when you see a game where the result goes against you and you keep thinking to yourself, like, somebody's going to speak up. Somebody's going to say something. No, don't trade this guy. And they keep going around the room like, should we trade him? Like, yep. Everybody signs off. And then all of a sudden Sagan's gone and you'd end up trading for nothing. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, and the ironic part is, you know, because, you know, we're always complaining about Kurt Shirley and his contracts. I mean, yeah, he brought us a cup, but he also doled out some awful deals. And Sagan was the only, like, reasonable contract we had. Like, we had him under contract, but I think he's still in the same deal. I think it's like 5.75 mil for six years. It was ridiculously under market value, and Bruins would have had him locked up, and it just is like salt in the wound of that trade, you know.
Before I let you go, like, this Boston radio stuff is crazy, Rear Admiral. With the Halliday stuff, and I get, like, Boston sports radio kind of has this reputation for outlandish stuff. Like, there's, hey, I'm cool with hot takes. I guess that's fine. It's not hurting anybody to have, like, your crazy Skip Bayless takes. But, yeah, when you're talking, like, when you're downplaying or you're criticizing somebody who just had a tragic death, like, that's insane. And that's a daily occurrence in Boston radio, essentially, it feels like.
That's an exaggeration. Yeah, we do have some a-holes on the radio here. We have some grumpy people. It's, you know, again, Boston, we're kind of one of these Northeast American cities where everyone's kind of pissed off. I don't know if it's because we're the first ones up in the morning, wink, wink, or what. But, yeah, the radio stuff, a lot of it's just goofy, you know. It's theater, I think. And I'm not talking about the Halliday thing. I'll have to say that in a second. But a lot of it's just theater. I take it for what it's worth. I really don't listen to it much since podcasts come out because it's just gotten a little ridiculous here. You can't really even get some good banter. Like, Felger and Maz, when they came here, they were a great breath of fresh air because the other station, EEI, never talked about hockey. Like, I used to call them, they would laugh at you. There was legit no hockey talk in this town. So when Felger and Maz showed up, they were good. They had a really good hockey talk. Felger's a big hockey guy. And then, you know, when the whole kind of debate and trolling kind of took shape, I guess, a couple of years ago, they kind of got into that a little too much. And, you know, that's what people listen to. People like to get aggravated around here. I like Mike Felger. They've been good to me. They've had me on the show a bunch. But when I heard the comments, like, I was like, I winced.